I want to thank Destiny and Sia and for those of Lion of Judah Dance Ministry and the other participants in making that visualization possible. Something that was stirring in my heart. Hallelujah. Not only this word that I want to share today, but also that depiction. Amen. I started sharing with Apostle John what was on my heart to share today, and it really resonated in his spirit, and we got excited, and amen, and so I want to share this morning. I was supposed to speak a couple of weeks ago and got attacked by the enemy so significantly in my back, my lower back, that I couldn't really stand up, so I couldn't minister that week, and it is my prayer that the word today, the receiving of that word, the activation of that word, the advancement of the kingdom, and the glory that God reveals and releases in the earth will so agitate and debilitate the devil that he'll be sorry that he ever touched one of the Lord's anointed. Hallelujah. Had a completely different message that week, but Lord started moving us in this direction. And in case you didn't catch all of the words to that powerful song by our own Apostle John W. Stevenson, it's called Bring Them Home. Thank you, Jesus. A message from the heart of the Father. And the words are, there's a world that's lost and dying, crying out in much despair, for they're blinded by the evil one to believe that no one cares. I need someone who's willing to leave the comfort of their own to go and share my gift of love, to go and bring them home. Bring them home to me, the dying and the lost. Bring them home to me, no matter what the cost. For I've prepared a place for them, one of their very own. Jesus said, go into the world and bring them home. Verse 2 says, there are those who will not hear you, nor believe a word you say. And yet there are so many more that I will send your way. You'll know them by my spirit, for their heart is one you've known. They'll open up with gladness and receive the word you've sown. You'll know to bring them home. Hallelujah. I want to ask you to turn it with me in your Bibles to John chapter 21, or on your devices, or just follow along on the screen. Either way works. For sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and start reading John chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. And I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Say nothing. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. and did cast himself into the sea. Verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this sacred moment. We thank you for all that's transpired in this encounter with you this morning, Father. Every aspect bringing us to this point and time, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word today, Father God. Breathe upon me. Use me, oh God. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears, position our wills to align with yours such that when all is said and done, we walk out this word in new and fresh ways, and you get the glory that's due unto you. God, we honor you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to use for a subject a heart for God's harvest. A heart for God's harvest. Bring them home. Amen. A heart for God's harvest. Bring them home. Now, in these 8 verses of John chapter 21, we see a lot of things happening. And I'm not going to try to extrapolate or highlight all of those things that we just saw in those 8 verses. But I do want to touch on a couple of them as I move in the direction that the Lord would have me move this morning. Now, some of the things I will share this morning are for the body of Christ at large, the church at large, but there are some specific things that Holy Spirit would have me to share for Heirs Covenant Church specifically. Amen. Hallelujah. So verse 1 starts out and it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to them. Now, that's significant because after Jesus's death, burial and resurrection, prior to this encounter that we see in John chapter 21, he had showed himself to them on 3 different occasions. Amen. He showed himself to Mary at the tomb in John 20, verses 14 through 17. Then he appeared to the disciples when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews in John chapter 20 verses 19 through 23. And it's interesting because in that second appearing or manifestation of Christ, Thomas was not with them. And then the disciples talked to Thomas afterward. And that's when Thomas said, well, you know, they called him, we called him Doubting Thomas. They didn't call him that. But he said, I hear what y'all saying. I'm paraphrasing, of course. I hear what y'all saying, but, you know, I won't really believe until I can put my hands in the nail prints in his hands and put my hands in the nail prints in his feet and thrust my hand in his side. Then I'll believe. And what's so cool about Jesus? It's all right for me to say something cool about Jesus, right? Because actually, there's many things that are cool about Jesus. But one of the things that's cool about Jesus, he appeared to them again 8 days after that on his 3rd appearance, again manifesting in the room where the doors were shut, and this time Thomas was with them. That's in John chapter 20 verses 26 through 29. And he specifically went to Thomas. You know, sometimes when you just need a word, you just need some clarification. You heard what he said to the whole group, but Lord, I need to hear this. And he has a way of showing up to give you exactly what you need. Yes, Thomas put his hands in the nail holes and put his hand in his side. So when it says that after these things, Jesus showed himself again, I just wanted to share with you in passing that there were several other times when Jesus showed himself to them after his resurrection. Amen. Verse 3 says that that night they caught nothing. That night they caught nothing. That night they caught nothing. You know, and as I thought about that and I prayed about it, I kind of thought about the season that we find ourselves in, or the past several seasons. How can I say this? Harvest being brought in and being cultivated, I'm talking about souls now, seems to be ebb and flow, right? There are times when there are a host of folks who come in and receive the Lord and get baptized. And then there are other seasons where there seems to kind of be this lull or this lag, and the waters in the baptismal pool are still, because there seems to be nothing happening in that moment. So you could look at this season that we're in as almost like that night where they caught nothing. Amen. But then immediately after the night that they caught nothing, verse 4 says, when the morning was now come. Ah, glory. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus, right? But then it was John that said, it's the Lord. Amen. So Jesus told them to cast their net on the right side of the ship. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'll come back to it in a little bit. As I think about our journey at Ayers, and if you're joined to this house, you really want to make sure you're here next week because of our family meeting and the things that are going to be shared about our journey that you really want to hear firsthand. It's exciting. I have the privilege of being on the board here, and I'm in a lot of the negotiations and things relative to our new location. If you don't know, I know most of you know, but if you don't know, Ayers is moving. And we're moving in very soon. Amen. And it's interesting, as I read these verses and I saw them kind of with fresh eyes relative to our journey as a house. They had been out there all night toiling. And then Jesus tells them, cast their net on the right side. They were in the correct place, but not on the right side. I'm going to say that again. I said they were in the correct place, but not on the right side. So when, even as I think about us as the family of Ayers, we're in the correct area. We're in Hamilton, but now God is shifting us over onto the right side. And there's a harvest that's going to come in conjunction with that. Now we thought, and I'm going to say this in humility, I'm going to say it in love, but I'm going to say it. Amen. We thought that things were going to happen differently here. And I'm not saying that disparagingly. I'm not saying it talking down to anybody or anything, but we thought. Amen. But what we've come to realize, you know how God will adjust his word. Amen. And he'll clarify his word. What we now realize is we're in the right place, but now he's going to move us over onto the right side. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Now, beloved, I'm convinced that we're living in a time of a great harvest of souls. Amen. I said a great harvest of souls. Do you believe that? Now, why do I ask that? I ask that because if you don't believe that, you won't be looking for it. If you don't believe that, you won't lean into it. If you don't believe that, you won't posture and prepare yourself for it. Amen. Amen. I encourage you to do a little research, and you'll see a right now move of God that's happening in the earth regarding harvest. We're hearing about, Google it, you're hearing about unplanned revivals in churches. You know, they might start a worship service and afterward people don't want to leave, and they just keep staying, and people keep coming, and the weighty presence of the Lord remains in that place, saving souls, ministering to people. When you look at what's going on in the prayer movement and on many college campuses, it's amazing. I just heard an account recently of a God encounter that's happening at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri Army Base, where about 2,000 soldiers, I'm talking about recently, gave their lives to the Lord and continue turning around and bringing them home because they're winning others. So I'm not talking about something theoretical. Amen. I'm talking about something that's actually happening, and you and I get to be a part of it. Amen. Now watch this now. This harvest doesn't come in all by itself. There is participation needed on our part to bring it in. Amen. I'm going to say that again. I said this harvest won't come in all by itself. There's participation needed on our part. You saw that visual representation. Amen. Where destiny came to the Lord, and then the Holy Spirit continued to nudge her to go back and get somebody else, and go back and get somebody else, and go back and get somebody else, and go back and get somebody else. And you know what has happened in the body of Christ? Now, this particular word is for the whole body of Christ. What has happened in the body of Christ is we've allowed ourselves to be deceived, and duped into believing. Well, you know, that's wonderful, because that's for the outreach team. You know, they're the ones that really have a burden from the Lord to go out and win souls. No, 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 no. The Bible is clear. All of us are the outreach ministry. Glory to God. Amen. I'm going to say that again. I said all of us. So no more with that go-to move. Amen. Hallelujah. And what you're going to begin seeing is that God is going to begin stirring and even burdening our hearts more and more and more to move us out of a place of complacency and comfort regarding the loss, and relegating that responsibility to others. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No harvest comes in on its own. Farmers don't plant seeds. You don't plant a garden and then you planted zucchini, but you just believing that supernaturally the zucchini gonna pluck themselves and come in the house and wash themselves and cut themselves and put themselves on your salad. Hey man, when you plant something, you expect to harvest. As a matter of fact, you're looking for it on a regular basis. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, there's a harvest coming, and God is looking for us to go and get that harvest. Amen. I said go. The song said go into the world and bring them home. Luke 14 and 23, Jesus said go out into the high, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Now I'm grateful to God for every one of you that's here. I know we got a lot of our body that's traveling because of the holidays and whatnot, but there's a lot of empty seats. I said there's a lot of empty seats. And God's not just about filling seats. God is about transformation. He's about life change. He's about replication. That means getting one saved and then they pour into the life of another one. They pour into a life of another one. And they pour into it because God is in the process of coming after the seed that he sowed. You and I must remain ever mindful that there exists and remains a chasm between heaven and hell. That's a great distance between darkness and life, between the saved and the lost. Amen? You know the story. Before the fall of man, when God placed man and placed woman in the garden, and they had unhindered, unbroken, unsin impacted fellowship with God, and then disobedience caused there to be a separation. Well, through the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, and the sharing of that message, it bridges that gap. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there's a chasm. There's a chasm. On the one side of fallen humanity lies separation from God, despair, hopelessness, bitterness, a false sense of self-sufficiency, right? Because verse 2 said there are those that won't believe you nor receive a word you say, right? So there are some that when you start to talk to them about Jesus, they feel like they don't need him. But they're separated from God, doomed to a future eternal existence in hell, for they are in fact lost without Jesus. I know it's not apropos or some folk believe to talk about heaven and hell these days, but it's real. Amen. and the mandate has not been lifted for us to share that information with others. But on the other side, on the side of saved lives, there's relationship with God through Jesus Christ. There are the blessings and benefits of covenant. There's citizenship in the kingdom of God. There's security of life eternal with God in heaven. Isn't that good news? And that's what people need to hear. They don't just need to be here that, well, you know, you're doomed and you're on your way to hell because you're a sinner. You know, that's not what they need to be loved into the kingdom. I said they need to be loved into the kingdom. I said they need to be loved into the kingdom. Go into the world and bring them home, right? To go and share my what? Gift of love. That's what they need, right? My. Thank you, Lord. So the completed work of Jesus Christ at Calvary and the message of the gospel is the bridge over that gap. I said the completed work of Jesus Christ at Calvary and the message of the gospel. Why do I put it that way? Well, Holy Spirit was nudging at me about the phrasing of that because the message is wonderful. The message is powerful. The message is life altering. But if they don't get the message, it can't help them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 23. It says, for that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. Fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And Jesus called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say it briefly right now because I want to come back to it later. Every time the message of the kingdom goes forth, there always ought to be signs, wonders, and miracles accompanied with it. Amen. I'll come back to that. I'll just lay that right there and just, you know, let it marinate, but I'll be back. Amen. But Jesus is inviting and re-inviting his followers to be fishers of men. I'm going to say that again. I said Jesus is still inviting and re-inviting his followers to be fishers of men. Now, why do I phrase it that way? Well, I phrase it that way because when we come to Christ, remember back when we came to Christ, you've been saved so long, you forgot. We were excited. Amen. We wanted to tell people about it. There was this well bubbling up on the inside that we didn't care who we came in contact with. We wanted to share them. But watch this now. Over time, life and issues and stress and strain start to suffocate that word, and we don't do it as much. So he invites us to be fishers of men, but for many of us, we need to be re-invited. I said re-invited, because if you have to struggle in your mind to remember the last time you shared the gospel and somebody actually received it, something's wrong. And now that's not condemnation, but it is conviction. Amen. And if you're only in settings, if you're only among people that already know the Lord, something's wrong with that as well. Johnny Erickson Tada calls them, in one of her books, she called them holy huddles, where you're just around folk that already know the Lord, and y'all talking and sharing, and it's good stuff, and you're encouraged, and you're strengthened. But what about the lost that need Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. So he said, I will make you fishers of men. In other words, we have to be fishers of men. And be is a short word, but it's a powerful word. I said be, not fitting to be. not used to be, but be is present tense. God is looking for you and he's looking for me to be fishers of men. I need someone who's willing to leave the comfort of their own to go and share my gift of love, to go and bring them home. In John chapter 4 that we just read, look at this. They left their nets, they left their ship, they left their father to follow him to be fishers of men. What might God be asking you to leave? To be the fisher of men he's calling you to be today. I'm going to ask that again. I know you want me to hurry on. Amen. I'm not going to do it. What might God be asking you to leave? What hindrance? What distraction? What encumbrance? My God, it ain't even necessarily got to be nothing crazy, but the results end up being crazy because they prevent the plan and purpose of God from being manifested through us. What might God be asking you to leave to be the fisher of men he's calling you to be today? Praise God for yesteryear when there were hundreds of souls that received the gospel because you shared. Praise God. I'm not taking anything away from that. But what have you done for him lately? Amen. Amen. I got about 2/3 less amens, but that's all right. In your reflections on today's word, I encourage you to write down, pray into, and let go of whatever hinders you from being the fisher of men he's calling you to be today. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 17 through 21. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Isn't that a blessing? I said, isn't that a blessing? Thank you, Kelwin. I said, isn't that a blessing? That if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But you and I, beloved, cannot be content in the fact that we enjoy this blessing ourselves. We've got to rekindle the burden and the passion and the follow through to share that with others. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let's read on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Remember I talked about that chasm, that great distance between heaven and hell, light and dark, right? Salvation and lostness. Well, he's reconciled us because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and his work at Calvary on the cross is that bridge whereby we were able to walk across from darkness into light. But then verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 part B says, and he hath given to us, given to us. Say that with me. Given to given to who? Given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he that made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I quoted that when we were receiving the communion elements. So Christ's followers are reconciled ministers of reconciliation. I said, you and I, his followers, are reconciled ministers of reconciliation. And you know, that kind of takes away haughtiness. It takes away pride. It takes away standoffishness, because we know that if it were not for the Lord on our side, where would we be? And I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we come to church so long that we lose that passion, we lose that burden, we lose that sensitivity. Amen. Y'all ain't going to amen, but that's all right. I know I'm right about it. Sometimes when you step on somebody's foot, it take them a moment, you know, to adjust and respond. That's all right. Matthew chapter 9. It's all right if I go to the word, right? Because that's where the power is. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Say signs, wonders, and miracles. It's like show and tell. You know, you can tell people about the gospel and tell people about the Jesus, but they want to see something. Hey, man, I remember when I was in kindergarten, I loved show and tell. Hey, man, and there was one day where one little guy, he forgot to bring something to show. So he just got up and tell him, amen. And you know how brutally honest, amen, and unfiltered kids can be. I mean, the room tore a hole in him. Oh, man, you talking about the fire truck? We don't see no fire truck. You talking about the ladder come up and it make noise and there ain't nobody seen nothing. I wonder, because of the hardness of heart of the world, when we tell them about Jesus, if there's no manifestation, if there's no physical meeting of their need. See, sometimes when you encounter somebody and they're hungry, they can't hear your message over the grumbling in their stomach. So sometimes you gotta take them to get them a bite to eat and connect Jesus. That's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Hallelujah. It was Jesus that gave me the resources to bless you with that sandwich that you enjoying. Hallelujah. So now let me talk to you a little bit more about this Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Thank you, Jesus. Let me keep going in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Glory. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest. Amen. Pray. And I want to encourage you, pray the Lord of the harvest. Now, I know a lot of times when we pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, you thinking that he's going to add more people to the outreach team. And he is, because he's going to burden and he's going to stir you to do your job as an already card carrying member of the outreach team. Amen. You say, well, Pastor Arnold, I don't have a whole lot of scenarios where I can share. Well, you got family. You go to the store, you got a job, and many, many other places. But if I'm not looking for harvest, I will pass harvest every day. I can have that zucchini that I talked about that I planted that needs to be plucked. And if I'm not zucchini minded, oh, you need to hear me in the spirit. I'll walk past that zucchini every day, even though that zucchini works two cubicles away from me. Even though that zucchini lives five houses away from me. Even though I see him or her every day, I'll pass by that harvest. Because if I'm going to be a reaper of harvest, I got to be harvest minded. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what is harvest? Harvest is the season when ripened crops are gathered. It's the season when ripened crops are gathered. It is a bounty of receiving as a result of sowing. I'm going to say that again. I said it's a bounty, a receiving as a result of sowing. Now, you know how it is in your personal harvest. You'll sow some money or you'll sow some time and you're expecting to get back a harvest, right? Well, think about what great harvest God is waiting on. He's waiting for the whole of humanity to come and to be reconnected with them. He's looking for somebody who's willing to leave the comfort of their own to go and share his gift of love to bring them home. So there's the zucchini. So the zucchini been out there way long. It's starting to get hard. It's starting to get rotten. The bugs are starting to eat it. Now watch this now. I wonder how many people's season is missed because there aren't harvesters in place to reap them. A trick and trap of the devil in this hour is to lure the body of Christ into focusing primarily, watch this now, on their own harvest rather than the Father's harvest. I'm going to say that again. I said a trick and a trap of the devil in this hour is to lure the body of Christ into focusing primarily on their own harvest. It might be financial. It might be cars. It might be houses. And we've heard a lot of testimonies and prophetic declarations about it shall now to receive a car, receive a house. And I don't have anything wrong with that. God is a God who is about prosperity. Yes, he is. But God is a God who wants his harvest as well. And sometimes we get so preoccupied, y'all ain't gonna say amen, so preoccupied with my own harvest that I forget about the Father's harvest. That's why the word for the day is a heart for the Father's harvest. He's got to restir that in us. You know, I just read John chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Verse 36, Jesus said when he saw, the word of God says when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There's three things I want to share that the Holy Spirit just caused to leap up off the page as I read Matthew 9, 35 through 38. The first one is a heart for his harvest. A heart for his harvest. Jesus was moved with compassion. When was the last time we were moved with compassion to that degree? Watch me now. I'm not suggesting that you're not moved. I'm not suggesting that you're uncaring. I'm not suggesting that you're not concerned about the plight of others. But if you genuinely moved, then you're going to move. I said if you genuine, you sit there watching TV and you're moved to get a snack. And generally, it's followed by what? A corresponding action. So I can't sit there and say, well, I'm concerned about the lost, but I ain't reaching out to none of them. Zucchini just land there in the field, ready to harvest, but I'm passing them by on a daily basis. Gotta be a compassion and a desire to be a blessing. In fact, for heirs, it's the S in the acrostic heirs, serving families and communities in love. That's all of us, beloved. It's not just the congregational life team. Well, it is the congregational life team. And guess who else who's on that team? Hey, man, you don't have to try out. Hey, man, you don't have to run no sprint. Let us see how fast you are. You ain't got to jump so we can measure how high you on the team. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So a heart for the harvest. A heart for the harvest. Second thing I see in Matthew 9, 35 through 38 is help for the harvest. So you see the heart for them. Your heart is broken. Your heart is moved. You want to do something, but now there's help. We got to introduce them to Jesus. And as I said a moment ago, God wants to manifest signs and wonders as well. Amen. So right there on the job, right there in the grocery store, it's all right. I don't care what they told you. It's all right for you to pray. Because if somebody hurting, amen, they generally want you to pray. Amen. I might have had one time, maybe two in my life. I'm 56 years old where I asked somebody, can I pray with you? And they said, nah, I'm good. Most of the time, yeah, they lean their head in. They don't even necessarily know nothing about laying hands, Brother Kelvin, but they lean that big head in, want you to lay your hands on it and pray for them. Yes, sir. Amen. So help for the harvest. Introduce them to Jesus as well as meeting their physical needs. I'm talking about a place to come back to that many of us operated in years ago. But we've gotten to the point where we've gotten lax. We've gotten callous. We've gotten tired. We've gotten, whether you want to admit it or not, focused on I, me, and mine. My well-being, my raise, my promotion, my house, my car. And people all around us are dying on their way to hell. I know it's uncomfortable, but that's all right. Amen. Amen. It's all right. Amen. So first thing is a heart for his harvest. The second thing, help for the harvest. And the third thing I see in these particular verses is hands for the harvest. So here, you got compassion. You want to help them. You got some resources. But now there's some hands that's needed to distribute those resources. Amen? The father needs someone to as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 5, to do the work of an evangelist. He said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Amen. It's quiet up in here. Amen. I can hear the air conditioning blowing. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I believe that God is positioning his body at large. But right now, he's positioning Heirs Covenant Church for a mighty harvest. Amen. Hey, I've been over to the new location. It's just 1 mile from here. But when you get over there, because of the repositioning in the spirit, it feels like you are far way away from where we are now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I've not even gotten out in the community yet, but just looking up and down the streets, your heart begins to stir, because there are people who God is sending us, and they aren't necessarily going to look like us. Therefore, it's not going to take religious, judgmental people, amen, to bring this harvest in. Great God. That's why we've worked so hard, and Apostle John has worked so hard to keep our fellowship from becoming some religious, stuffy, pious fellowship. Amen. I mean, they're out there and they're longing, whether they know that what we have is what they need or not. They're waiting. They're tattooed up. They're struggling with heroin and methadone and sexual sin and pride and bitterness and rejection. And I'm not saying any of that to talk down or look down on them, because what God is looking for us is to roll up our sleeves and get right down in the mud with them and join alongside and do work. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Not just congregational life, not just the outreach team, but all of us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, that doesn't mean just anything goes, you know, because we'll love you as you are, but we're going to walk with you to get you where you need to be. Amen. We're not going to expect you to be there day one. Amen. But we're going to keep nudging and nudging and nudging and nudging. Glory to God. Did he do that? My. Glory to God. Mighty harvest heirs. You got to begin to see it. You got to begin to allow your heart to be stirred and broken. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let me talk for a moment about inreach. 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 That's the taking care of ourselves and one another. And that's critically important. Amen. Because the quality of our outreach is directly propelled or prevented by the intentionality of our inreach. I'm going to say that again. That sounded pretty good. I said the quality of our outreach, our output, is directly propelled or prevented by the intentionality of our inreach. Let me say that another way. If you don't take care of yourself, it's kind of difficult to take care of others. Amen. Amen. You get on the airplane and they give you the little spiel. You know, if the cabin should suddenly lose pressure, the oxygen mask will deploy. Lord, and you put your mask on what? First, and then you assist the person next to us. Well, what has happened for many in the body of Christ is we've gotten stuck enjoying and sucking on the oxygen ourselves, and the person in the seat next to me is dying. Ah, glory to God. I'm not mad. Amen. Well, I am a little mad. Amen. Because the devil has tricked us. The okie doke. Amen. Okie doke. You know what the okie doke is? You can use a number of examples. You can use boxing where they throw a fake and you go for it and bow, they hit you on the other side. In basketball, they throw that little juke and you go over there and they just lay it up. That's what he's done, because we've gotten so focused on us. My. We got to check on one another. Look around the congregation right now. Amen. I do it on a regular basis. I might not have the person's contact information on my phone, but I found that social media is a powerful thing. Amen. I'll get on Facebook Instant Messenger and I'll hit somebody up. Hey, I missed you today. How you doing? Amen. Don't reach out to them and blast them, because they're likely not to respond to your... But just ask them, even if you know where they are, still check on them. Amen. I said check on them. You want somebody to check on you. Get all swole up when people, you know, I was out, my baby toe was hurting and nobody called me. They didn't send me no card. Ready to leave the fellowship. But how diligent are we about following up with us? You know the folk in the congregation. Amen. And if you don't know the folk in the congregation, that's a problem. Amen. Let me challenge you just a little bit. When we do the greeting of the guests and greeting of one another, don't just immediately go to the folk that you already know. I'm going to see you later. I want to get to him and I want to get to her. And I make it a point. I'm not lifting myself as any great example, but I'm just giving you some things to think about. I make it a point to try to touch with every person. And then I double back around to our members, because there's some members that I've not yet got their name. Now, I'm not saying I haven't heard their name, but I might be on the 12th iteration. Amen. So, yeah, that's the way it is. You know, they just have one name to remember, Pastor Arnold. But you got a bunch of names because you're trying to learn everybody's name. So it might take me 10, 12, 13 times. And I'll tell them that. Give me some grace, but I'm going to get your name. And they're blessed because you're trying to get to know my name. Now we sniggling and we giggling, but we know five names. Ooh. Let me go back over here behind the podium. Check on one another. Pray for one another. Encourage one another and challenge one another. Amen. I said challenge one another lovingly. I'm not going to mention a name, but there's one particular member that was just consistently late. You hear that quiet again? Consistent. Service don't start till 11. Now I got to be on the job at 7 a.m. and I'm there in the parking lot drinking coffee at 6:45, but I can't make it here at 11 o'clock. So consistently late. And when they come in, they would parade in almost like, you know, they were the grand poobah or something. And the Holy Spirit just kept stirring me. I couldn't go to them the first time because I was a little bit swole. Amen. I had to get myself right. Amen. You got to know when it's time to go. And went to them and just said, hey, you know, I noticed you're consistently late. First thing I asked was, is everything all right? Is there anything we can do to help you to get here on time? And the person just kind of dropped their head. You know, thank you. You know, Holy Spirit's been on me about being more on time, and I just haven't made the adjustment, but I will. And from that week on, that person has been early. Amen. Just a little nudge and challenge. Don't just act like you don't see it or think it's just the quote unquote leadership's job. All of us are leaders. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into the harvest. You're those laborers. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 11 and 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, And he that winneth souls is wise. Let me hurry on to close. Jesus said that he would make them, and by extension, make us. You don't have to come just yet. Amen. Still going to be just a little while. Amen. Amen. I just want you to know we're circling the airport. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. But he said that he would make them, and by extension, us, fishers of men. And I want to conclude this message by just sharing six things the Father dropped in my spirit about fishing, comparing and contrasting the natural with the spiritual. Okay, six things. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying this list isn't all inclusive. It's just a handful of things he dropped in my spirit. Nuggets for the noggin. Things for you to think about, okay? And I'm going to preface it by saying, I am not a fisherman, okay? I'm going to say that again. I've been fishing in my life about three times. And I generally go because the brethren would go fishing. First time I went because our Boy Scout troop went fishing. And I really went more to fellowship and to spend time with the people that went. I wasn't trying to put no worm on no hook, although I've done it. I wasn't trying to hold the gills down and take the hook out, even though I've done it. Amen. But nah, I'm not coming to you from the place of a seasoned fish. So I don't want you blowing me up on social media. You know, man, we going fishing next week. Well, y'all go ahead and tell me how it was. Glory to God. Because I ain't going. Now, I eat up some fish. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. So one of the first things, let me hurry on. One of the first things he dropped in my spirit is expectation and a love for fishing is key, or you won't stick with it. Expectation and a love for fishing is key, or you won't stick with it. Now, remember, I'm making a comparison between natural fishing and spiritual fishing. You and us being fishers of men. Amen. I've got several friends who are they're serious fishers, fishermen. And they get excited if you just talk about fishing. They start sharing different places they go and what kind of bait they use and all that kind of stuff. I used to work with this guy that he was so serious about fishing that he would always keep his gear in his car. We went up to Chicago on a project and we went to have lunch break, and he went almost across the street and he out there with a line in this little muddy little brook. Why are you saying all that, Pastor Arnold? I'm saying that because that same type of excitement and expectation needs to be in the heart, a return to the body of Christ regarding fishing for men. Thank you for those four amens. Glory to God. But the disciples in John chapter 21, where we started, remember we read those first eight verses? They were exhausted. They were exasperated in a seemingly fruitless season. But watch this now. They stayed out there where the fish were, even though they hadn't caught anything. Why? Because when Jesus said, put the net on the right side, they were in place to do so. Sometimes because it seems like we're not catching anything, we'll leave a place. And then when he says, drop the net, I'm not even in position. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Second thing, perseverance and patience is necessary. Otherwise, you won't keep it up. Perseverance and patience is necessary. Otherwise, you won't continue to fish. Amen. Those couple of times I went fishing, I learned some things. Amen. I learned that I was not going to invest that kind of time to sit on a bank getting ate up by bugs in the hot summer sun and leave and ain't caught nothing. But they were geeked up. You know, they were talking about, you know, I almost got a snag, you know, and hey, I broke this line because this one made me have to put a heavier test line on than what I. They were excited. They still saw it as a success. Yes, sir. So shift that over into the spirit. What kind of excitement is there on us as fishermen and fisherwomen to regularly look for opportunities to go. If somebody came up to you and said, hey, let's go out and grab a bite after dinner. Most of the time we're thinking after service. Most of the time we're thinking about the bite after service. I'm not thinking about the fish that are going to be in the place where we have the bite for dinner. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if I'm not looking for the, you need to be walking to your table when the hostess is taking. You need to be looking. Amen. I know you're looking because you're looking to see what they got and you're looking to see how good it looked to determine whether you're going to order that or not. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about looking into their eyes to see that need, right? And yet there are so many more that I will send your way. You'll know them by my spirit, for their heart is one you know. They'll open up with gladness to receive the word you've sown. You'll know to bring them home, but you won't know if you're not looking. My God, help me to say this, Holy Spirit. Thirdly, y'all can come now. A variety of bait is needed to catch different types of fish. Amen. Y'all still with me? A variety of fish is needed. A variety of fish is needed. Excuse me, bait. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A variety of bait is needed to catch different types of fish. Right? All fish don't go for all kinds of bait. What does that have to do with us, Pastor Arnold? I'm glad you asked. There are different types of strategies that Holy Spirit will download to you based on who it is, when it is, how it is he wants you to reach those that you encounter. He will give it to you in that moment. Don't spend time trying to make sense of it because it's not for you. He just wants to release it through you. Just do it.
All right.
You look at the different ways that Jesus healed. All kinds of different ways. Sometimes he'd speak a word. Sometimes he'd make mud and put it on their eyes. All kinds of different kingdom strategies that Holy Spirit would give him. And I'm sharing with you, beloved, that it's the same way relative to bait. Come on, Eric. Bait to catch different kinds of fish.
Amen.
Fourth, God is positioning us for a mighty harvest with opportunities and challenges. Amen. I said opportunities and challenges. Amen. Because when you catch the fish, you got to clean the fish.
Go ahead.
Amen. It's a smelly process. Sometimes you can cut yourself on the scales or on the gills. And when they come in, there's going to be some cleaning that's necessary. There's discipleship that's needed.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And I'm grateful to God for our new members' classes that we walk them through. But God is moving us to a place, beloved, where there's deeper degrees of discipleship. So that foundation and root system is strongly laid so they'll stick and stay.
Good.
Number five, there are deterrents to fishing. Amen. I'm not going to elaborate on this one. I'm just going to share it. There's heat. There's bugs. There's frustration from seemingly not catching anything.
Yeah.
And that's why we're told to walk in the Spirit. Excuse me. Walk by faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And not by sight. So there's times when you interface with the same folk on your job and will stop casting line the day, the very day that Holy Spirit has prepared their heart. Now it's time to receive. But I got frustrated. I ain't going fishing today. Am I making any sense to anybody?
Yep.
Lastly, thank you, Holy Spirit. Kind of fishing that I'm talking about is not catch and release fishing. For some strange reason, I like watching the sports fishing shows, right? And they do catch and release. That's when you catch a fish, they'll pull it up, they'll show it to you, they'll weigh it. they get points and stuff because they're competing in a contest, and then they throw it back in. Well, we're not talking about catch and release. Now, even though I say this isn't catch and release, the church does have a catch and release program, because we catch them and then we release them because we run them away.
Wow. It's true.
Through ignoring them or not pulling them into the clip. Amen. Or maybe we don't expose them to the necessary levels of discipleship and walking alongside, doing life with them, so they can withstand the attack of the enemy that's going to come right after. So it's a catch and release. Maybe I, as the outreach worker in the body, I'm not talking about the outreach team, I said the outreach worker, just didn't call and follow up with them, see how they were doing. So they gone. There's a world that's lost and dying, crying out in much despair. They're blinded by the evil one to believe that no one cares. I need someone who's willing to leave the comfort of their own, to go and share my gift of love, to go and bring them home.